Test, 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 test. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Please Make This Minisode. My name's Hobart Thompson, and I'm one of your hosts. And as you probably have guessed from reading the title of this minisode, I decided that I wanted to piggyback on what Lara did for our last one and talk a little bit about the writing process for Please Make This with a step into my very own writer's room. I'm going to put a bunch of fanfare here. It's going to be great. It's going to, imagine we're walking down a big long hallway. There's like an opulent double door at the end. There's two guards in matching uniforms waiting to let me in. And there's a butler inside with a platter, and he wordlessly hands me a glass of champagne and a straw. He puts a little crazy straw in it. And then there's a table in the middle of this really fancy room that has crazy gold wallpaper, and there's couches and zebra skin and gold Roman style columns. And in the middle, there's my desk, and it's just like a huge. It's a block of marble the size of a desk that has been carved out so I can sit at it. And there, sitting on top of it, is a typewriter, but the typewriter is just for show, and I take it and I shot put it into a corner that's just filled with broken typewriters, and then my butler brings out my MacBook Pro from 6 years ago and sets it on top of the desk so I can begin. Welcome to my writer's room. I thought it was really fun with Lara giving us a peek behind the curtain for her writing for our script for Sirens. See episode Sirens for more. And I'm currently working on my script for our episode that we're releasing in conjunction with this mini, because we thought it'd be fun and also keep us spoiler free. The Window Guy, a story about a really die-hard pitch man, someone who is devoted to the selling of a product on TV to the point where they become kind of a somewhat celebrity and are deeply affected by the sort of life cycle of the product that they come to represent, not only as an employee of this company, but also as a personality. And I took the beginning, but I decided to center mine around after, 15, 20 minutes in, I imagine, when this character has gone through the process of auditioning for being this pitchman and has gotten the role. And so then Scott Payne, with the help of his girlfriend at the time, Wendy, come up with the idea for what the Window Guy is going to be on the TV screen in a way that's kind of very much like about two struggling actors who are working together with a role. Kind of the not the best days of their lives, but I think a part where the two of them feel both creatively fulfilled the most. It comes with one challenge that I have been... I started this actually a couple of weeks ago to give you a little timeline of what we kind of did, because I will often, after we make an episode, because I'm the person who edits our episodes for Please Make This, so I take all the stuff that we do for a pitch, and then I edit it together so we can have a rough... guide and also a reminder of what we talked about during the pitch. So that's the very first step I take when I work on a Please Make This episode. So I get a little more immediate review of our what we just had talked about. So sometimes when that happens, I'll just be struck by inspiration and just start working on what I want to. I mean, the way I've always written for anything is I'll get excited about something and then I will suddenly have made 5 pages of it. And that immediately happened to me because I really like this idea for a movie. And so I have about 4 pages already done. Where I kind of have Scott and Wendy hanging out in the kitchen, drinking some wine and kind of just like being like, well, how do you do this? How do you make this cool? And then I immediately kind of, not was stopped, but kind of hit the point where I was like, oh, this is the point where I have the challenge whenever you are coming up with any sort of movie that is about an artist, be it a musician or a painter or a comedian, where you have to see them perform. And it has to be good because the movie's about them being good at this. You know, if it's a movie about a stand-up, you want to have a part where they do stand-up, and the jokes are funny, and the audience likes them. You have to not only have written the script, but also do at least some amount of the actual artwork within the script. And what I realized is if I'm going to have a scene in which Scott impresses his not only his employers, but also the soon-to-be fans of this mysteriously charismatic TV pitchman, I had to come up with a good commercial for this product, which is a window cleaner. So I have been thinking about it, and I'm almost there. You know, sometimes it will come in fits and starts, inspiration. I had some ideas last night for how to kind of get it all set up for the ad and what I wanted the ad to look like and how I wanted the ad to kind of portray. And I think I'm going to go pretty simple with it, but I do have to kind of think of some good copy, basically. You know, it's not as much writing dialogue or descriptions or my idea for how the movie would look visually or tonally, but like just like a good advertisement, some decent copy about Shino Window Shiner. So I'm working on that. That's the thing I'm going to be working on today. And now I want to bring you into the my writer's room process here, which is not just that I come up with an idea for the movie, sit down and write for actors to read on the table, as we say at the start of all of our episodes, but I sort of I have Thursdays off of my job is what I'm getting to. And today, as you were listening to this, it is Thursday. And on Thursday, I wake up and I make myself breakfast, and then I start to work on my creative projects. It's a day that I have always sort of reserved because I have it off from work, and I try to use it for this purpose. And so that's why maybe my voice sounds kind of weird, is because I actually woke up about 30 minutes ago. So I decided immediately to dive right on this because I'm not just working on Please Make This Day. I'm actually working on a couple of different writing projects I have. One of which, I'm going to tell you about both because why not cross promote? One of which is I am a writer for a local satire website and social media thing. I don't really know about the part of it. It's called Chicago Genius Herald. You might, maybe you've even seen some of our articles if you live in the Chicago area and follow Chicago stuff online. But we do satire, kind of onion-based, onion-style satire, but about Chicago topics. We have been doing it for a couple of years. We have a really fun writing staff that I've been part of since we started in 2019. And off and on during the pandemic, and we're having a meeting. We've been taking a little break because it's hard to keep a website going, and so I took a little break for a month, and now we're having a meeting tonight, and so I'm also working on some headlines to pitch at the meeting. And in addition to that, I'm also now working on a live D&D show at the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago. We have shows. It's going to be coming up into Wednesdays in 2024, but we have our last show of 2023 on December 19th. It's a Tuesday. It's at 7 p.m. It's going to be a lot of fun if you like D&D. We basically just play D&D live for 2 hours with funny people playing serious D&D characters. So it's grand adventures, but done by people who are really fun to watch play. And I'm working on the campaign setting for that. And this is something I do actually a lot when I'm working on my Please Make This scripts, is that I work on other projects at the same time. Something that I find just kind of keeps me weirdly motivated to kind of spring back and forth between things, or I'll have lots of, you know, a lot of the stuff ends up being the amount of D&D I play. So I'll have my campaign notes up where I'm working on like, oh, what's in this dungeon room, how many monsters, or like, oh, here's a good idea for like a NPC they could meet, like a cool king or whatever. And then I'll also have like the sort of background stuff that you have to maintain when you run D&D games like I do, like character sheets and stat blocks and maps that I make. So it's, you know, that kind of little nerdy stuff that I literally like to kind of tinker with. It's something I really enjoy. And when I'm working on my Please Make This scripts and, you know, hit a couple of lines and I've written a page and I kind of get to a line where it's like, well, what would they say? That's when I just tab over to the next thing. And so I don't know, maybe that sounds like an incredibly chaotic, distracting way to work, but I don't know, that's what I've been doing since, like, I don't know, pre-pandemic. That's what I've always done, you know, just work on a little, take a little bite of everything on the plate, and then eventually that whole plate's empty. Yeah. The other thing I like to do, which you probably maybe you can tell, is when I'm writing, I pace a lot. And so I've been pacing during this entire podcast mini intro that has turned into like a, where are we at now? Oh God, 10 minute rant. Jesus. Where I just sort of pace around my apartment. On Thursdays, my girlfriend Sarah works sometimes, and so I will be just like here with just my cat Pogo, who's looking at me from the couch suspiciously because she's wondering why I'm pacing and talking to myself like this. Just, you know, getting up and moving really helps me. And so as part of this, I know that I'm going to reach a certain point where I'm working on my window guy script today, where I'm going to hit that part where it's the ad. And I want to just step away from it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go next door. I live in Chicago, and this neighborhood where I live next to a pool, and I've got a membership at the pool, so I'm going to go swim for a little bit. And then after that, I'm going to go buy cat food for my cat, which is another Thursday ritual I have. So I'm going to watch the PetSmart that is nearby. I hope I'm giving enough details so that I can be doxxed. But not really. Please don't do that. And I'm going to walk down there and get some cat food. It's about a hour walk there and back. And then I am going to have an idea. That's the goal, is go for a little urban hike. And when I return, I will smell like chlorine. I will have cat food. And I will also have my idea for the window guy's sublimely perfect TV pitch. You know, like the first time you saw Billy Mays dump a little cup of OxyClean into the water and it got all like milky and bubbly. Then he dunks in like a white shirt that has a bunch of grass stains on it and those things just melt away. That's what I'm trying to capture, is when a extremely charismatic person is passionate about a product, how it can make you kind of want it, even though you know that buying something off a toll-free number on the TV isn't always a good idea. Not that you'll get scammed, but that a lot of that is shit. But it still is like, oh, hell yeah. Finally, they figured out a way that I can easily slap, chop an onion instead of, you know, the knife method that we have been using for years. I'm sure that there's no downsides to, like, physically bludgeoning a vegetable with a sharp object on my kitchen counter. Or in this case, using a probably poisonous chemical solution to make my windows super shiny and fingerprint repellent. So that's what I'm trying to capture. That is my goal. Along the way, I am also going to be coming up with 5 headlines for Chicago-based satire and several ideas for how to make our adventure on Tuesday super scary and spooky, because I didn't want to do like a Christmas thing, because we did a Thanksgiving thing, and the month before we did a Halloween thing. And so I was like, I don't want to do a Christmas thing, because then it's like, is this show just like a holiday D&D show that just does a different holiday every time we do it? Do we have to do a New Year's thing in January? Is February going to be Valentine's Day? Where does it end, folks? Where does it end? So that's what I'm working on. I currently am about to, now that I have sort of done my pacing, I'm going to sit down with the cup of coffee I have, and I am going to work. I have my 3 documents already opened. In the background, I have playing some music. I have been listening to the new album by the British sort of wizard stoner metal band Green Lung. It's called This Heathen Land. I strongly recommend it. It kicks ass. And we're going to see how much I can get done in an hour before I set out on my walkabout to the pool and then to the cat food store. So thank you so much for listening. I know this has been rambling, but as you probably know, have gathered, that's sort of how I approach this project, is sort of with a rambling enthusiasm. So here I go. I'm sitting down. I'm putting fingers to keys. Let the writing commence. Hey, everybody. It's Hobart again. Checking in. I have just gotten back from the swimming pool. I took some time from my script so I could go and take a little swim before I go on my walk to buy the cat food. But I just wanted to give you an update on what I've been working on. So I'm still working on coming up with what I imagine the perfect Shino commercial to be. And it's not going to... I have a couple concepts, and one in particular that I'm pretty excited about that I came up with a little bit last night, and I realized that I could apply it to the commercial as well, Wendy has a dog that lives with her and Scott in the movie, and this dog loves to lick the windows because it's a little, you know, one of those hyperactive dogs, and the Shino, he uses the Shino on the window as a way to test the product himself, which is when he realizes how great of a product it is. And I think a moment that we talked about a lot in our pitch was that there's something wrong with the Shino product, that it's like toxic. And I think there's a moment where I want the dog to then approach the window and the dog like sniffs it and then just walks away. And instead of taking this as a warning, Scott takes this as a like example. And then when he's in the commercial, he demonstrates how no fingerprints, no tongue marks get on the window by licking the window himself in a very cartoonish way, where he holds up like a small pane of glass and just like runs his tongue up and down it, and you see that no streak marks are left behind. Just one example in this guy's career as to his enthusiasm for the product he sells, and the Chekhov's gun of its toxicity. So I was working on that. That is what I'm going to be thinking about when I take my walk. Another update on my other projects. I came up with all five headlines I needed for my Chicago Genius Herald pitches tonight. Topics I was trying to hit are Chris Kendall Market or holidays in Chicago. In particular, I have one on glue wine, the festive mulled wine beverage that's very popular around here. And also I wanted to cover disappointment with Mayor Brandon Johnson, which has been kind of an increasing thing in political circles around Chicago, that he is struggling to find his footing. Then also I have one that I'm very excited about that is very topical, which is the opening of the Salesforce Tower, this brand new skyscraper in downtown Chicago. And I have a headline where I say that it opened just in time for a Die Hard style criminal plot to unfold within it in time for the holidays. So I don't know if any of those will get selected in our meeting tonight. These are just things I'm going to pitch. So if you see any articles on ChicagoGeniusHerald.com or any of our social media handles that are anything like what I've just been talking about, that means I was successful. Yeah! So I'm working on that, my script when I get back, and some more on my D&D notes for our upcoming show. So that is what I'm going to be thinking about. I will rejoin you here in the writer's room when I return, cat food in hand, ideas in head. Thanks. Bye.
There are those among us with very simple tastes. They only want the best. And for them, there's Fancy Feast Gourmet Cat Food. Exceptionally moist and delicious. Fancy Feast. Good taste is easy to recognize.
Hey, everybody. It's Hobart again, checking in here on my progress working on the window guy. It has actually been 3 days since I last checked in with you. I went on my cat food walk and was successful, did come up with some ideas, and did a little work that night, but kind of left off with like one page left to go. And I was just sort of like, I'm tired. It's Thursday night. I've been busy all day writing and working on stuff. I'd had my meeting for my pitches, for my headlines, and just felt like taking it easy. So now it is the morning of the actual reading. We're doing our Please Make This Episode recording the second half. I finished up last night, and then I woke up this morning and had my breakfast, and then went through and checked for spelling errors, you know, anything egregious that I could catch. I have my script all ready to go. We are going to be printing them soon and meeting up this afternoon so that we can record. And I think I'm going to check in after the recording so that I can tell you how I felt about hearing my script get read. It was a lot of fun to write. I had a lot of fun writing the little pitch session. Yeah, and the first his miraculous one take pitch I've worked into the story, and yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to hear what Gabe and Lara have for their scenes from Window Guy. I think I have an inkling of what they both did because I also this morning was working while I was editing the podcast at the same time, so getting all the audio tweaked and lined up perfectly, and taking some stuff out, and you know, putting in the intro music and outro music. So here we go. It's Sunday. It's a gray day. It's kind of cold here in Chicago, and we're gonna make some podcast magic this afternoon. Okay, well, I hope you have a good day. Bye.
Well, hey everybody, it's me again. So we have successfully recorded The Window Guy. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed Lara and Gabe's scripts. We had our friend Chris Iannucci, who has been a previous both writer and reader on the show many times. He's a good, dear friend of the show, playing our Scott Payne. He did a great job. He was one of the probably first people I thought of when I was trying to think of someone who'd be good at doing the whole TV pitch man thing. So he did a great job with that. I really enjoyed everyone's scripts. Gabe had some really funny stuff with exploring how the product ends up being poisonous. And Lara had an incredibly dense and very fun scene between the two main characters, Scott and his soon-to-be ex-wife, Wendy, in the scene that she wrote. It was a lot of fun. I think my script played well. Everyone, you know, I seem to enjoy it. There's, you know, no visible audience when we make our show. It's only us sitting at the table. So I just feel like if I get a couple laughs, I'm like, yes, that's good. If it's a comedy and if it's a horror movie, then I have failed. I struggled throughout the episode, you'll hear, with one particular word, which I'm not even going to fuck with in this mini-sode. So if you want to hear me fuck up one word a bunch of times in the episode, please check it out. And, yeah, I mean, that's been pretty much, that's it. That's what I hope you've enjoyed hanging out with me in my writer's room, my mobile, often wandering around my house and neighborhood writer's room. It's been a lot of fun to give you a peek behind the curtain at what my process is like. I am now, as of today, already working on some new things, including another Please Make This script for a very fun movie we have coming up with, I'm not going to spoil it. You're just going to have to wait. And also some shows I'm doing. Especially I'm doing one that is a Christmas theme show. It's at the Paper Machete. By the time this episode's going to come out, this will be irrelevant information, but I'm just really excited about it. I'm writing a bit based about where I'm going to play a guy who was Santa Claus to like the Tim Allen movie. But he did it on purpose. He killed Santa so he gained Santa's powers. And he loves it, but now he lives in constant fear and dread that someone's going to kill him so that they can get the Santa powers. So he's sort of turned Santa into a Highlander. So that's going to be a comedy bit that I'm working on right now. So the writing projects continue, you know, the life of a DIY Chicago comic. You know, it's a lot of fun. I know I sound very tired, and that is because I am, but, you know, I love doing this, and I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. Thanks so much for tuning into this Please Make This mini-sode. We'll be back with more mini-sodes and more full-length episodes in the coming weeks, and we appreciate you listening, and I know I've said it before, but I hope you have a good day. Bye.